When I say something this morning that you might say ouch about, it's because as I was praying Thursday morning, the Lord just began to show me some things. It is a time of thanksgiving and praise. Today is a harvest festival. It's a harvest festival because God has given us bountiful harvests for a long time. It's because more than I need to preach to you, we need, friends, you need and I need to break the power of Satan in your life through thanksgiving and praise. We have become so accustomed to looking at what's wrong. We have become so accustomed to coming to a place where we look at ourselves. We don't like ourselves. We don't like what's happening in our life. And if you don't like yourself, you probably don't like the person sitting next to you as much as you should either. And so we come to a place where God is dealing with us about situations, negativity, poor self-esteem, poor self-image. We look at things and we never get around the corner. It's always going around the same corner. I'm not happy and I'm not this. And we become pretty, at times, self-centered. I know you don't, so I'll just preach to myself and you got a right to listen. So if you get mad at me, let's say it first. I love Pastor Fearing. Okay, you go home with a grouch, that's up to you. But I want to base what I'm preaching on the Word of God, and I want you to understand that God flows through thanksgiving and praise. There are times we have to take our dark glasses off. There are times we have to look at situations through the eyes of God and come to a place that our life is one filled, not occasionally, not Sunday mornings, but filled every day with thanksgiving and praise. Okay, here we go. How many of you can change anything that happened in the past? How many have ever made a mistake in the past? How many of you still get beat up by some of those things? We just don't get through them, do we? We kind of put our tent there and we stay there. And you know what happens? I had a young man tell me today, well, I came to church because God told me I needed to surrender. Well, you need also to give up the past. You need to live now. None of us can go back and change anything. But we sure can get beat up by it. We can sure allow it to affect us and infect us. We can allow it to make us ornery and grouchy and sad. And we can think I'm going to do something about it. But until we let it go, until we give it up, until we bow our knee to Jesus Christ and say, God, you've forgiven me. Why can't I get through it? You've forgiven me. I need to forgive someone else. I need to move on to things that bless. Whatever things are lovely and noble and pure and of good report, think on those things. How come we don't? How come we always, and it's not very long. Now, if you'll sit in a conversation, how long does it take to get negative? How long does it take to talk about everything that's wrong? How come we just don't jump in and say, man, isn't God good? And isn't church good? And isn't this right? And isn't this blessed? And isn't this wonderful? We don't do that. You know why the media don't? They don't sell newspapers. You know, knowing myself, and seeing I'm preaching to myself, I can use myself as an illustration. I can always find a problem in every solution. Yeah? Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I can constantly look at things and say, yeah, but. Fact is, Ray coined the phrase a while back that this is a but-free zone. No more yeah, buts. It's now we're moving ahead. So to kick this whole thing off and not just do the preliminaries, turn with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, 1 through 4. It is good, the Bible says, to give thanks to the Lord. Okay, raise your hand with me. Everybody, say thank you.
Thank you,
thank you Jesus.
Thank you.
Say it again.
Thank you,
again.
Thank you,
one more time.
Thank you,
now, how hard was that? Oh, I did it because Pastor told me to. If I didn't, he'd make me come up front. No, we need to live that way. We need to live that way. Do we realize something? This 90 years or 80 years or 120 years that we live is spring training for heaven. It's spring training for heaven. You're going to spend your eternity either crying out to God, saying, oh, if only, or praising him that you're there. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing his and sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on the instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp, on the harmonious sound, for Lord, you've made me glad through your work, and I will triumph in the works of your hands. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that God always, say always with me,
always
leads us in triumph. Look at me. You're going to hear that a lot today. I want you to understand something, and I want it to sink in. God has never devised your defeat. God has never sat up in heaven and said, I have a perfect plan for Dave, and it's going to bring failure and failure and fail. God doesn't do that. God plans your triumph and your victory. God plans your overcoming. God plans benefits. We'll see that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's not a hassle to serve God. It's not a pain to serve God. It's blessing to serve God. If only we can get a hold of that. God has your very best interest at heart, and God has done nothing ever to harm you. Now we know who does. And so God plans your triumph. God plans your victory. God works in your life. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. Okay, say it.
Praise the Lord.
Say it.
Praise the Lord.
Say it again. You think you can remember that when you go home?
Amen.
You got two things to remember so far. Thanks be to God, and what's the other one?
Praise the Lord.
Okay, let's hear them both. Thanks
be to God. Praise the
Lord. Okay, are we okay?
Yep.
That sound pretty good, Kirk?
Yep, sounds good.
Good. Psalm 147, praise the Lord, for it's good to sing praises to God. Listen, when we came in here this morning, it was good to sing praises to God. He likes that. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. How many have had a broken heart? How many have been wounded? How many feel like somebody stuck a knife in you? Were you well done? Just did it. He counts the number of stars, and he calls them by name. Kirk, You're into this. How many stars are there?
Billions and billions and billions in our galaxy and billions and billions of galaxies.
Do you know their names? Can you tell me them all?
Six.
Okay. God not only counts them, he's named them. Listen, this is no little puny thing calling himself God. This is the man, the God. All other gods start with a small g. That puts it in balance. That puts it in perspective. Every other god that people bow their knees to starts with a small g. Great is our Lord, and mighty is his power. His understanding is infinite. He understands you. Say this with me. God, understand me. He understands my feelings. He understands my tears. He understands everything about me. And he still loves me. Okay, everybody say this. God loves me. So what I'm preaching to you is because God loves you. God's excited about you. God's not bored with you. God's not tired of you calling out his name. God's not tired of you crying to him. He's telling you this morning that he loves you and that he has a plan for you, and he wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be full of peace. He wants you to accept his love and not think that he loves everybody else in the whole world, all 6 billion people but you. Isn't that amazing? What did you do to tick him off so much? You haven't. You haven't. Point number one. I got 4 quick ones. Introduction is longer than the message. Everybody said amen. Number one. It is the will of God for your life, say for my life, that I am thankful and full of praise. It is the will of God for my life that I am thankful and full of praise. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. People have been asking, what is the will of God for my life? Well, here's one of them. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is the will of God that whatever you're going through, you are thankful. It doesn't mean somebody got killed, so you're thankful for their death. No, it's that you're always having an attitude of thanksgiving and praise regardless of circumstances, regardless of situations, even regardless of how you feel. There is nothing spiritual based on how you feel. It's based on faith in Christ. It's not based on my feelings. How many of you were really excited today about coming to church? And how many just came because of the thing to do? How many of you just could not wake up? You were up at 4 o'clock, not milking cows, but you were up at 4 o'clock and you were just getting your best clothes on, and you were sitting there, and you turned on the pastor on the radio, and you heard pastor twice, and you said, man, I just can't wait to get there. I gotta go. We don't do that. Fact is, some of you look for some reason not to come. Any reason would have worked. If I live my life by my feelings, and here's the thing in your life. If you live your life by your feelings, they can switch so quick. They can change in a heartbeat. Well, people will say, well, you know, I have to feel. Yes, you may have to feel. You are emotional. God gave you emotions, not to be controlled by your emotion, but so that you can feel. But he gave you faith so you can overcome the emotional hard times, so you can overcome the issues in your life, so that you can trust him, that you can live for him. And his will to get you through those times is that we are thankful, that we walk in thanksgiving and praise. Whatever is happening, what you have and what you don't have, what's happening and what you expect to happen, what things are happening in your life, we walk through them. Thank you, Jesus. Now you say, Pastor, that's just a bunch of hot air. That's where God wants to bring us. That is his will. It's his will. Chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13:15. But let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanksgiving unto his name. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, giving thanks unto his name. And that sacrifice of praise is the fruit that we give back to God. It's the fruit of our lips. Can you imagine what kind of life you'd have if every day you would just speak out thanksgiving and praise to God? If you wouldn't look at things as being so negative and so hard and so difficult, but Pastor Fearing would get up in the mornings and just start praising God and just start thanking him. And you'd go out, and we're going to show you this in a few moments. You'd go out, and people would be touched. Our last point is that praise makes you productive. That you would go out, and people's life would be changed by your attitude of praise. Number two, thanksgiving and praise will keep your focus on God even during bad circumstances. Praise and thanksgiving will keep your mind on God when things aren't going right. Psalm 103. Many of you could quote that, but let's read it so we all see it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What would change if when there's a bad situation, a bad circumstance, you'd just stop and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for preparing a place for me. Praise your holy name, Father, that Jesus died for me. Can you imagine what that would do in your life? Because it would start, and here's what praise does. Don't forget this. Praise and thanksgiving defeats the purpose of Satan. Praise and thanksgiving will defeat the purpose of Satan. What is Satan's goal? Steal, kill, and destroy. We know that. But it's also to keep you down. It's to keep you under. It's to keep you always looking over your shoulder. You know, if he realizes that when he pushes that button that always gets your attention, when he pushes that button that always brings you down, when he pushes that inferiority button, when he pushes that button of fear, when he pushes that button of worry, when he pushes that button, if you just stop and you say, okay, Satan, here goes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know something? He hates that. He's going to quit pushing the button. It's like Pavlov's thing with the puppies, conditioned reflexes. When he pushed the bell and the puppies would come for lunch, and pretty soon he didn't have to put any food out there to push the bell. They were used to when the bell rang, they got food. Satan knows what button to push. When we're living in praise, when we're worshiping, when we're adoring him, we're not helping him push the button. He cannot read your mind. He does not know what you're going to do. But I want to tell you something. When that button is pushed and you start praising God and say, oh no, God, what's going to happen now? It's a whole different ballgame. Praise him. Praise him. Give him glory. Giving honor. And when that praise starts coming out of your mouth, you get your thoughts off what's wrong and you get focused on Christ. And then you realize, I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storm call rise. I'm sheltered in the arms of God. I am safe. I am secure. The anchor holds. It's solid. It's perfect. And no matter what I go through or have to go through, I'm okay. Because God's with me. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Chronicles. Old Testament, I'm sorry. Page 512. That should help you. 2 Chronicles, you'll find, is right after 1 Chronicles, so you're right. Second Chronicles, verse number 17. The armies. I don't care, just verse 17. Chapter 20. What do you mean? You people should know me by now. You should be able to just... King Jehoshaphat's kingdom was being attacked by several armies. And what he did, the Lord came and gave a word to a man. And that word was, you need not fight in verse 17 in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah. And Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Verse number 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who would praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. I want to show you something. Your battle position needs to be spiritual. Your battle position either needs to be like this, or it needs to be like this. Your battle is not to attack the devil. It doesn't say attack the devil. All kinds of people are running around attacking the devil. You don't even know where he is. How can you attack him? And so attack the devil, attack the devil, attack the devil. And the devil's here, there. He can only be one place at one time. God told him, you don't have to fight. You need to stand. Ephesians chapter 6, he says, doing all to stand, stand. With the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, having your loins girt about with truth, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. He doesn't say, then attack. You attack by moving up. You attack through praise. You attack through worship. You attack through the word of God. Jesus just said, it's written. Finally, he just said, get behind me, Satan. Go away. It's over. Listen, don't make a big deal over a small devil. That was a good time to say amen.
Amen.
Kind of blew it. I'll give you another chance. Don't make a big deal over a small devil.
Amen.
You say, what are you talking about? In Isaiah chapter 14, when we look at Satan when we're in heaven and we see him, the Bible says they're going to look at him and say, are you the one that caused all this trouble? Are you the jerk that I was afraid of? Were you the boogeyman in the dark? You don't have to fight like that. You come to a place of praising and praying and worshiping. And you tell the devil where to go instead of him telling you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Are we doing okay? I want to read this one to you because I did it about 14 times, so it's kind of important. Thanksgiving and praise will break depression, worry, and fear. Now, I realize there are times that there are chemical imbalances for depression. I understand that. But I also understand that Satan wants to bring you down. And he wants you to focus on what you are, who you are, or what you did, or what somebody did to you. Now, this is important. Never, say never.
Never.
Never dwell on a thought about yourself that is not about how God thinks about you. Hear me. Never dwell on a thought about yourself that is not how God would think about you. God doesn't think you're worthless or helpless or hopeless. God doesn't think you're the worst sinner that ever lived. God doesn't think that you're a failure. You need to come to a place of standing before God, and the first thing you need to do is know that he loves you unconditionally. He has planned for your victory, not your defeat. He comes to bring you joy and peace and righteousness. And if this is like most of my messages, this will last until you walk out the door and you're going to forget all about it. But don't. Think about how God has accepted you and how God has loved you, how God has forgiven you, how God will anoint you, how God will fill you, how God will use you, and control your thoughts. Because if God wouldn't think that thought about you, don't you? I don't care what somebody says. I don't care how mean they are to you. I don't care if they forget your birthday. I don't care if they do this or do something else or forget about Christmas or you're left out of everything. That's not the issue. You think what God thinks about you. And you will find what God thinks about you right here. You may be hurt. I can understand that. You may feel neglected. You may feel that things are wrong. You may feel that all kinds of different emotions. But never, say never.
Never.
Start thinking thoughts that God wouldn't think about you. You, when you get to this place and your mind is spinning, you start praising God and saying, God, I know what your word says. I know you have a purpose for good and not evil. I know that you have a plan. And I'm going to walk that out. And friends, I'm going to tell you, it will turn this church upside down when we come in here after being out there a week and we're not coming in all depressed and all broken up and all hurt. Yeah, we've had emotional times. There's nothing wrong with those. But in our emotional times, we realize, God, I'm thinking the thoughts you think about me. I'm going to tell you something. And you've heard it before, but don't you dare forget it. There's no one, no person who's ever lived besides Jesus Christ that loves you as much as God does. And you know why we go through a lot of emotions? You know why we go through a lot of hard times? Is because we don't come to Him and let Him just birth that in our souls. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. I have a new destiny. I have a new life. God has built a place for me. It's called heaven. We okay? Last one. When you start putting these in order and you start walking them out, you're going to find that you have a spiritual, productive life. And that is going to bring the satisfaction and peace through Jesus Christ that nothing else will bring. Herein is my Father glorified in John 15:8, I believe it is, that you bear much fruit. The one thing I want to do, the one dream in my life, the one heart pounding thing in my life, is that when I stand before my Father, He looks at me and says, well done, my son. Well done. That takes place of all the ridicule, all the things that's happened, all the past, because I look for approval from my Father. Some of you didn't have good fathers. Some of you never got approval from fathers. You got one now. And that day is coming when you stand before Him and you walk it out that He's going to say, well done. Look at me. He never told you you wouldn't have any issues. He never told you you wouldn't shed some tears. He never told you you would never be hurt. He never told you that everything would be wonderful and great. What He did tell us is, I'll get you through it. I'll get you through it. You don't have to worry about your life. You don't have to be in fear about it. You don't have to walk around depression because of some actions or some things or somebody said something or somebody did something. You don't have to do that. You just need to reach out to the Father. He loves you. He wants to help you. But you know something? It's absolutely left in your hands. It's your choice. It's your choice. He said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, don't worry about anything. Say worry. Don't worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. You won't even be able to understand it. Jesus said this, be of good cheer. In the world you will have tribulation or you will have situations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He never devised your life for failure. He devised you for victory. You're not made as a Christian for failure. You're made to walk in victory.